The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Well, it's pulling into the station. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to the big show. On a day when we've taken another step towards absolute craziness. But that's how we go. Last several months, there's been lots of talk to cut the Seattle police budget by 50%. The crazy train added about 200 new cars this morning as a proposed resolution before the Seattle City Council now is to completely eliminate the Seattle Police Department. All right. Thank you, Ozzy. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Our buddy Christopher Rufo, editor at City Journal, Discovery Institute. Christopher Rufo had some breaking news this morning as he posted about a new Seattle City Council resolution to abolish the entire Seattle Police Department. Replace it with a civilian-led Department of Community Safety and Violence Prevention. You think 1984 has come completely to life in the Marxist dystopia that Seattle is becoming? No more police. Replace it with a civilian-led Department of Community Safety and Violence Prevention. This is a group that would let criminals run absolutely free and unchecked throughout the city. And, of course, this has great coattail effects and would spread throughout the region because as word grows that drugs are legal in King County, which they are, thank you, Dan Satterberg, drugs are legal in King County, crime will go unchecked. So you can certainly burglarize homes, but you could do strong-arm assaults on the streets to feed your heroin or meth habit, and the criminals will go completely unchecked if this vision of some members of the Seattle City Council were to come to fruition. And Rufo posted the resolution that the Seattle City Council has dropped now. Let me give you some of the details, because this is the crazy train. The council argues that the Seattle Police Department perpetuates racism and violence and upholds white supremacy culture. Remember, this is a police department that 6 months ago was being held up nationally as a model of reform, of responding to the challenges of these times. Barack Obama was praising the Seattle Police Department for all of the steps it had taken to become one of the best in the country. And now today, July 31st, 2020, the Seattle City Council, the cop-hating City Council, because the City Council has lurched toward Marxism, the City Council is now saying that it perpetuates racism and violence, the SPD, and upholds white supremacy culture. I wonder if Barack Obama realized that when he was praising the SPD just 6 months ago. I mean, it's really unbelievable what is going on here. More from this. The council endorses the decriminalize Seattle movement. Now, we've told you what that is. Decriminalize Seattle doesn't mean crime is going to leave Seattle. What it means is that crimes will no longer be prosecuted. So we won't have any criminals because the people who commit assaults and burglaries and robberies, they won't be any police. And they will go unchecked. And you know the agenda that's driving this. If this is a community-driven replacement, I've told you the stated goal. Stated goal. Shama Sawant's organization, Socialist Alternative, destroy capitalism, destroy police departments, rebuild in a Marxist image. That is the stated goal. In fact, I talked about this. Check out my Twitter. I have the link. January 9th, 2019. I talked about the Marxist takeover of city government, about the coming effort to abolish our police. And when I talked about that a year and a half ago, I was denounced by many as full of hyperbole, and that Monson is just making stuff up. And now today, everybody knows with absolute certainty that we were speaking the truth. And we were one of the only media outlets that was speaking the truth about what was coming to Seattle. Go check out my Twitter. And you'll see the link to the January 2019 story where I said this was coming. This is a source and a place for truth. And I'm distraught that there aren't more in the media who have covered this over the last couple of years. Because if they did, maybe we wouldn't have put these radicals on the Seattle City Council threatening all of King County, all of Western Washington with a crime wave that would come if they are to achieve their goals. Here is more from the documents that Christopher Rufo posted this morning. The council endorses decriminalized Seattle. They would replace the police force with culturally relevant expertise rooted in community connections. Try to decipher that. With housing, food security, and other basic needs. Marxism. Government will provide everything. They will take from everybody, and they will provide for everybody. That is the destroying of capitalism. It is now in writing, in this Seattle Council resolution today. They would also replace the police with trauma-informed, gender-affirming, anti-racist praxis. P-R-A-X-I-S. I don't even know. I should have looked it up. I don't even know what the word praxis is. And I have a decent vocabulary. And then finally, the plan demands that the city of Seattle conduct, quote, an immediate transfer of underutilized public land for BIPOC community ownership. As Christopher Rufo points out, the redistribution of land is the hallmark of Marxist regimes. So this resolution would take public property that is owned by all of us, all taxpayers, and the Marxists on the city council will then say, oh, you're a BIPOC, which is the new FAD acronym. I believe it's Black Indigenous People of Color. So they will take land that belongs to all citizens, take it away from all citizens, and they will give it to the groups that have been promoting the domestic terrorism and the Marxist agenda with the rioting in our streets. It's the crazy train. And it is heartbreaking. Seattle, if the council gets its way, the city of Seattle will descend into absolute chaos, mass criminality. Drug addicts will stream here, even greater numbers. They already have with the legalization of drugs. Okay, so what's going to happen with all of this? Well, there was a peaceful protest Wednesday night in Seattle. The peaceful protesters were in a neighborhood on Queen Anne after midnight, so Wednesday night, early Thursday morning. They were making so much noise, screaming their chants, F the police, all cops are B-words, screaming vile vulgarities through the streets of the city. One person who lives in a home on Queen Anne, he went outside to confront them. Why are you waking us up? I got to work in the morning. Our buddy Gary Horker at Cairo 7 News, he had a great piece on the absolute violence and, again, domestic terrorism that ensued.
Got this video on Twitch that appears to show part of the confrontation.
I'm sorry, that's not Gary Horker. I believe that's Michael Spears. Michael Spears, though.
But I did not.
The camera then points towards the ground.
Hey, but what is your problem here?
I have no problem.
So why are you over here? Take a step back.
Moments later, the video shows the man lying on the ground, with some people watching, clearly upset by what had just happened.
This is the middle.
Okay, I want you to understand. A man just trying to get sleep in his home on Queen Anne went outside. He had video recording on his phone, and the mob attacked him. The domestic terrorists attacked him. They laid him out. Head injury. Here's more from Cairo.
The night, and it was quite loud.
Neighbors say the protest chants woke them up.
There was a loud noise and a commotion, and so my husband and I got out of bed, and I peeked out the window, and I saw a gentleman lying there.
Tracy Reiser said she did not see the man go down.
And there were other, the people I saw around him were not hurting him. They were trying to help him up.
Seattle police say that man told them he had confronted protesters and asked them to quiet down so he could sleep. Investigators say the man reported demonstrators became upset that he was recording them, flashed lasers in his eyes, hit him in the head, possibly with a flashlight, then said someone deleted the video on his phone.
Think about this. The guy was doing what is an essential First Amendment right. He was on a public street recording video. But the domestic terrorists have said that we're afraid. We're afraid of our images being captured. And so they violently beat, likely concussed, left in the street. I'm told that some of the mob went over and tried to give first aid after the others were beating this guy senseless. But First Amendment doesn't matter. The Constitution doesn't matter in the takeover of Seattle.
Another video posted to Periscope appears to show a different angle of the man asking why the group was marching.
It's the coronavirus.
Before he grabs a flashlight out of someone's hand as people tell him to leave.
And the guy grabbed the flashlight because one of the domestic terrorists is shining the flashlight a foot away from the homeowner's face, just right in his eyes. And the guy just did what any of us would do. He just reached up, grabbed the flashlight that they were shining in his eyes.
Minutes later, he's on the ground.
I don't like to see people getting hurt on either side.
Now, at this point, police have not announced any arrests.
Michael, let me ask you a couple of questions here. Before protesters made it there, video shows the group stopping at the home of a Seattle City Council member. That was Andrew Lewis, I believe. What was that like?
Well, they went to his house. He did come out and speak to them, and they really wanted to know more about his support for defunding police and also specifically on ensuring how he would make sure that money would go back into being invested in the black community, Dave.
Okay, so there you go. Right there. Great job. Great reporting by Michael Spears. So they wanted to make sure that money will be taken from the Seattle police and given to them to be invested in the black communities. And that's why none of this is about social justice. This is just a strong arm takeover of hundreds of millions of tax dollars. by the mob, the domestic terrorists. So give us that money. We don't want you to put it into the cops. We want you to give it to us. The crazy train is pulling into the station. Are we going to stand up? Is the silent majority going to be heard? That is the breaking news coming in this afternoon. And that is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Who better to talk with all of this about? Former U.S. Congressman, former King County Sheriff. He can talk about this both constitutionally and from a law enforcement perspective. Dave Ryker, he's going to join us coming up next. Do not miss this. There's info you need to have. It's right after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show. As we told you in the big lead, the breaking news today is a proposal now in front of the Seattle City Council to not just defund our police department by 50%, but to completely abolish the entire Seattle Police Department, replace it with a civilian-led Department of Community Safety and Violence Prevention. It is mind-blowing stuff. And we invited Dave Ryker, former King County Sheriff, former United States Congressman. We invited him to come on the show today before I knew about this, but it gives me something else to talk with him about. Congressman, I appreciate you coming on with me today.
Thank you for the invitation.
I know that this is news to you about this proposal to now completely abolish the Seattle Police Department. But as I describe this to you, and we have the City of Seattle resolution right in front of us now, what's your gut reaction hearing this for the first time?
Well, you know, if we hadn't led up to this point with all the other activities, I would think that you might be joking with me.
I wish I was.
I wish you were too. We're living in a state of reality that doesn't seem like it's real. And it's absolutely mind-boggling, as you said, mind-blowing. I don't understand their thought process on this, because what this is going to result in is our I'm sure you've talked about this on your show. I think it's going to lead to vigilanteism. People are going to start to protect themselves.
Absolutely.
And we're going to be buying more guns. We're going to be buying more bullets. And the police are that, you know, we talk about the thin blue line. And so some people have chosen to define the thin blue line that's divided. Now it's a division between the police and the community, that blue line. But really, in my entire career, that line has been the line between chaos and peace. The line where law enforcement protects us from those things that are a danger to our families, so that citizens can live out a peaceful life where their children can go to school safely and walk the streets safely, play in parks safely. But if you take that line away, there's going to be total chaos. Where is the common sense? Where is the logical thinking here? And where is the, you know, Dory, I took the oath to protect and defend our Constitution three times, once in the Air Force, once in the Sheriff's Office, and once in Congress. The people that have been elected in this state and in the cities, all those elected officials have taken that oath to protect and defend our Constitution. They have decided that the Constitution is not worth protecting, that these special interest groups are the ones that need their support, and the rest of the citizens that live in their cities, counties, and in this state of Washington can go to hell. And there's going to be a reckoning. That's my opinion. I think the silent majority will rise up. And it's not going to be pretty.
Well, I want to get back to the constitutional issue in a moment, because that's why I initially invited you on the show. But since I do have this breaking news, can I share with you just a few things in this Seattle Council resolution today? Just because I would just love to hear your reaction. It says the resolution sets the goal of creating a new civilian-led department to guide public safety. The council will then fund community-led activities to accompany defunding of the police department. They will call it, their stated goal is by September of next year to create this new Department of Community Safety. They also say that they want to take, I've got to find this because you're not going to believe it. They want to take publicly owned property and give it to BIPOC communities, which is pure Marxism. When you have, you know, just a handful of people that are going to take property that belongs to everybody, to all the taxpayers, and they are going to decide who to gift this to, that is Marxism. And that gets me to my main point here. I wrote in January of 2019 about this Marxist takeover of our city council, of our city, a year and a half ago. I warned people about this. The stated goal of Sawant's organization, Socialist Alternative, is to destroy capitalism, to destroy our city, and then out of the rubble to rebuild these community police departments in a Marxist image. I was dismissed as hyperbolic when I first talked about this a year and a half ago, and now it turns out everything is coming to fruition, Dave.
Yeah.
What's your reaction when you hear just some of those details about giving away private or public property, about dismantling a police force? It's insanity, but it is Marxism as well.
We live in the greatest country in the entire world. This country is based on the fact that all people are created equal and no person is above. I like the Teddy Roosevelt quote, no man is above the law. No man is below it, nor do we ask any man's permission when we ask him to obey it. And we now, so now we're in a position where there are no laws and you can do whatever you want to do. And now we're going to take away private property. I saw this coming in my last 2 years and maybe a little bit before too, like you. When the indivisibles started to rise up, when they came into my office and we had these discussions on, because they were obviously upset with the current administration, we had discussions on policy and laws that they wanted passed. And I was polite enough to listen. And then when I disagreed, they got angry. And there were several times where I just said, this meeting is over. Please leave the office.
Sure.
I refused to do town halls because they were disruptive. They were protesting in the middle. They were shouting me down. They were shouting other people down. And so this was the beginning of what we see today. But if you're not in agreement with them, we're going to shout you down, take your voice away, even though you have the freedom to speak. We're going to take your voice away. And not only that, we're going to take your property away. Because that belongs to us, too. Not only right. does your voice belong to us, but your property belongs to us.
Well, and a couple of points on that, because two of the nine city council members said, no, we should not cut the police budget by 50%. The mob has gone to their houses with this purpose of terrorizing their families. They're scrawling graffiti on their doors and windows of these two council members' homes. And the council members, they're both far left people, but because they aren't Marxists, they are being terrorized in their homes. And so that's why I get so frustrated, Dave, when I hear so many in the media call these peaceful protests, because that would be deemed by most a peaceful protest, going to a council member's home. I call it domestic terrorism, because if you're terrorizing somebody's home and family to get them to change their mind about something, I don't know what else we should call it.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, even in 1999 during WTO, we had the anarchists show up in the middle of those protests, peaceful to some degree, but then you had those agitators within the crowd that elevated it to a riot in some cases. This, WTO by no means reaches the intensity of what's happening today, but it was a foreshadowing of exactly where we're at today.
Yeah. Yep.
And I I look at the mayor as being absolutely ineffective and weak, kowtowing to special interests. I wonder what in the heck has happened to Dan Satterberg, who's decided not to prosecute burglaries now. Dow Constantine, who has said, we're going to close the jail. Well, I guess if you don't have a police department and you're not making arrests, oh, we don't need a jail. But you know what? If I were the sheriff right now, I would be saying I'm going to enforce every law that currently exists in the state of Washington and King County. I will make those arrests. If you close down the jail, I'm going to handcuff those crooks to a pillar in front of the jail, and then let Dow Constantine and Norm and Dan Satterberg and the mayor, let them go down and unhandcuff them and release them into the community again. But I'm going to follow the law, and that's what these people should be doing. There's a law in this land that they took an oath to uphold. Why in the world do they think that they can just thumb their nose at it?
And that's why I initially called you. And I want to dive into that a little bit deeper. Do you have just a couple more minutes to spend with me?
Sure.
Okay, talking with Dave Reichert, former U.S. Congressman, former King County Sheriff, and our conversation will continue in just a moment here on the Dory Monson Show. I am back with former U.S. Congressman Dave Reichert, former King County Sheriff. I didn't know I was going to talk with you in our first segment this half hour about eliminating the police, which is now being proposed by the city council. I heard you, Dave, on TV a couple days ago, and I've known you for a long, long time, and I've always thought of you as a pretty laid-back guy. You were fired up and animated talking about our public officials who are ignoring the Constitution. Who are you talking about, and what elements of the Constitution are they ignoring?
I'm talking about, all the way from the governor. Where is Jay Inslee in all of this? Where is Ferguson, our attorney general? What happened to Dow Constantine? Where is Dan Satterberg? And where is the mayor? And all of those elected officials within the county council. And now they want to take the sheriff back to an appointed position. They want, if they can't succeed in that, they want to direct the sheriff as to what he or she can do. Back when this started, if we had made a stand and said, we're not going to stand for this, I mean, no, don't give up that precinct.
Right.
You protect that precinct. You protect that neighborhood. And Inslee should have been there with the National Guard. Every block that the police takes back, the National Guard, and during WTO, we used the National Guard, Gary Locke and I, Ron Sims, all of us were in the command center together. Even Paul Schell, who had a problem with me back then, was in the command center with me. It wasn't, you remember those days.
I do very well.
It wasn't perfect, but we came together and we solved this problem. And the way that we did it is we upheld the law. The Constitution does not allow people who believe that they have a voice with a justified cause to stomp on the rights of other people. That's what I'm talking about. So I have the right to exist in this state and in this country, just as anyone else does. And I have issues that I'd like to express, but I have to do it in a way that abides by the current laws that are in place, that the people of this state have elected officials to put those laws in place. You just can't pick and choose which laws you're going to enforce. And who you're going to charge and not charge. The first thing that we should have done when this thing started was to arrest everyone who was committing a crime. I don't care if you have to pack Metro buses from Seattle all the way to Auburn with the crooks. I don't care.
It might have been a line that long too.
Right? Or you take a battleship from one of our mothballed ships, bring it over, park it in Seattle, and fill that with the crooks. And identify who those people are, because in my opinion, I think we're going to find that some of those people don't live in Seattle. Obvious. Some of those people don't live in the state of Washington, and that's obvious. And some of them don't probably live in this country. And I agree with you. There's a point at which you have to decide is this just an uprising of concerned citizens? It was in the beginning, and rightly so, because the death of Mr. Floyd was tragic and horrific. But it's now moved to a point where I agree with you, Dory. We are now talking about, domestic terrorism. And that's where the federal government, that's why the federal government is coming into play at this point, because it's their job when citizens' civil rights now, and that means any citizen, not just specific groups, but any citizen's civil rights are in danger. It is the responsibility of the federal government to come in and protect those civil rights.
Absolutely.
So if the city's not going to do it, the county's not going to do it, the federal government's going to come in and do it. That's what we have the Constitution for.
Well, and look, and we only have a few seconds left here, but at a so-called peaceful protest Wednesday night, a man was brutally beaten outside of his Queen Anne home because after midnight he came out because the crowd was waking up the entire neighborhood, and he had his video recorder going, and they beat him, concussed him, left him laid out in the street. Family had to take him to the hospital. There's a guy at his home in Queen Anne who just wanted to get some sleep. And we're seeing this all over. Jay Inslee, for 48 hours after the creation of Chaz Chop, claimed he hadn't heard about it because he is so afraid of the mob and the left turning on him and him not getting reelected because of that, which he's going to be reelected. I don't know why he won't enforce the laws. I was born in Ballard, Dave. I've grown up in this city. I can't believe what I'm saying right now.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Renton and Kent, and I can't believe what I'm seeing right now either. People, what's happening now is if you say jaywalking doesn't matter, you say speeding doesn't matter. And I've noticed as I travel around the county and my neighborhoods, people are disregarding speeding signs. They're disregarding no littering signs. They're disregarding law becomes irrelevant. If the police are going to focus on, I'm going to arrest you because you're not wearing your mask, or I'm going to fine this business $10,000 because you opened up too soon, but they're not going to arrest someone for beating the crap out of somebody in downtown Seattle, people are going to go, well, what are they going to do to me? I'm doing 20 miles an hour over the limit. So what?
As you mentioned, Dan Satterberg has de facto legalized heroin and meth and all drugs in personal possession amounts. And it's insane. Dave, I love talking with you about all of this. You've been generous with your time. I appreciate it. And let's stay in touch because I think that your experience and your insights are really important to inject into the conversation here.
Well, I'm happy to come on again. I did offer to reach out. I reached out to some TV stations, but I don't think that there is an openness in some of the media outlets in Seattle willing to hear the opposing view right now. So thank you for allowing me to share my thoughts with you.
Well, and the opposing view happens to be the truth. And why anybody in the media would duck the truth is bizarre to me. Dave Reichert, love talking with you. Thanks for coming on with me today.
All right. Thanks, Dory.
Okay. Former U.S. Congressman, former King County Sheriff Dave Reichert joining us. Your thoughts on what you just heard? Text me at 98973. Check the news and the Fast 15's coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.